It is March the 7th, and we are continuing in Parshas Vayigash. We are on page 258, and I hope we're ready for some counting tonight.
How many these 70 people are?
258. What's that? Counting.
Pasuk.
And we're going to start with Ches. 8. Pasuk Ches, verse 8. When the Bnei Yisrael are going down to Mitzrayim, now as a complete family, everybody's going down together. So the Torah sees it fit to count all of the Bnei Yisrael who are going down. We mention this counting in the Haggadah. In the Haggadah, with Pesach coming up, we mention this. How many souls went down to Egypt?
70.
We say B'shivim nefesh Yerdu Avasachem Mitzrayim. With 70 souls, your ancestors went down to Egypt. And when we came out of Egypt, how many were we?
6 million.
So it's 600,000 men between 20 and 60. Which, if you factor in women, children, and those older than 60, you're approaching 3 million. Mm-hmm. That's between 2 and 3 million people minimum. Mm-hmm. That's what you have. So these 70 souls are going to multiply, and over a period of only 210 years, are going to reach several million. That's one of the miracles that happened in Egypt, and it happened under severe oppression and slavery. Nevertheless, we multiplied. So here the Torah, though, lists the 70 souls. So the Torah says, we'll read it all through, and we'll come back, and we'll go through some of the details over here. Ve'eila shmos b'nei Yisrael haba'im Mitzrayim. These are the names of the b'nei Yisrael that were coming to Egypt. Yaakov uvanav, Yaakov and his sons. Bechor Yaakov Reuven, the firstborn of Yaakov, of course, is Reuven. Uvnei Reuven, the children of Reuven were Chanoch, Ufalu, Vechetzron, Vecharmi. He had four sons, Chanoch, Falu, Chetzron, and Karmi. So that's four, and Reuven is five. Uvnei Shimon, and we have Shimon as well. Yimuel, the children of Shimon, Yimuel, Viamin, Veohad, Viachin, Vitzochar. He had Yimuel, Yamin, Ohad, Viachin, Tzochar, that's five. Vishaul ben HaKenanis, and also Shaul, and he was the son of the Kenanis, which literally means the Canaanite woman. We're going to come back to examine who this Shaul, and more importantly, who this Kenanis is. Who's this Canaanite woman that we're referring to? Apparently, Shimon had two wives. One had his first five sons, and the other wife, the Kenanis, had Shaul. So he had a total of six sons, plus himself is seven. So we had Reuven and four sons, which was five. Now Shimon and six sons is seven, so we're up to 12. Okay. Uvnei Levi, the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kahas, Umerari. So he had three sons. These three sons become very famous later on, as the Levi himself is divided up into three distinct families that have different jobs with the Mishkan, with the Tabernacle, Gershon, Kahas, and Merari. So that's a total of four. Levi plus his three sons. So we're up to how many now?
16.
Uvnei Yehuda erva onan v'sheva v'aferetz v'zarach. Yehuda initially had five sons, Er, Onan, Sheva, Peretz, and Zarach. However, v'yamas erva onan v'aretz Kenan. Er and Onan died in the land of Kenan with a story which we learned earlier, involving Tamar. So now he's down to three sons, Shelah, Peretz, and Zerach. Vayuvnei Peretz, Chetzron, v'Chamul. And Peretz also had two sons, which are Yehuda's grandsons, Chetzron and Chamul. So we're back up to five, plus Yehuda is six. So we're up to?
22.
So we're up to 22 people so far. Uvnei Yisachar, the children of Yisachar, Tola, Ufuva, Viyov, Vishimron. Four sons, Tola, Puva, Yov, and Shimron. So that's a total of five. So we're up to?
27.
Uvnei Zevulun, and now Zevulun, his sons, Sered, Ve'elon, Ve'achle'el. Three sons plus Zevulun is four, so we're up to?
31.
Ela b'nei Leah, these are the sons of Leah, Asher yoldal Yaakov b'Padan Aram, that she bore to Yaakov in Padan Aram, meaning before they left Lavan, she bore these six sons to Yaakov. Ve'es Dina Vito, and don't forget Dina, his daughter. So that's another one. We had 31, now we have 32. Kol nefesh banav uvnosav, all the souls of his sons and daughters, meaning from the line of Leah, shloshim v'shalosh, 33.
She was the only one who had daughters?
No.
Esther was 32.
What's that? So first of all, we have a number problem over here. We have 33 being counted, but we only had 32 names.
Right.
Okay, we're going to get back to this. Are you asking?
Where are all the girls?
Well, we know Yaakov only had one daughter, at least only one daughter that's named in the Chumash.
Right.
That's Dina.
That's
counted. So she's counted. Now, if you're asking, did Yaakov's sons, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, did they have any daughters? Apparently not. We're going to talk about that as well.
Okay.
Did they have daughters or not? So we'll see.
Yaakov himself?
Yaakov is not counted.
How come
these are the sons of Yaakov.
No,
children of Yaakov.
How come that we haven't heard about...
What's that?
How come that we really haven't heard about any of these sons until right now? I mean, we don't...
Well, there was no reason to talk about them. These are the grandsons... These are the grandsons and great-grandsons of Yaakov. Right? If Yaakov and his sons, his children, I should say, and then their children, and their children's children. So we're getting into a larger family over here, so we haven't yet discussed these children. They all come up later in the Chumash. So here we have our first curiosity, that the Torah says that Leah's branch, remember Yaakov had four wives, and each one is going to have their own branch. The Torah is counting them by order of wife. Leah has six sons and a daughter, and their offspring. And it comes out, we counted 32 names, but the Torah says 33. That's a curiosity which we'll have to come back to. It's also interesting to note that it appears that Dina did not have any children, because it lists the children of the other children of Yaakov, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zevulun, and their children. Dina is listed, but not her children. So apparently she didn't have any.
What about Asna?
Doesn't list her.
Okay. She's already in Egypt.
So let's see. Fine.
Are we counting girls too?
Some of these names girls. These are all boys. Except for Dina. They're all boys.
Because we're not counting girls, or because there were no girls?
Well, we would have thought we're not counting girls, but Dina's counted.
Yeah.
So it seems like we are counting girls. So mm-hmm. The question is, were there daughters or not?
It says daughters in the plural, right?
What's that?
It says
Banav ubinosav. It does say that. It does say sons and daughters. It sounds like more than one daughter.
It's in the plural.
Okay, good.
Maybe daughters-in-law. We still don't know.
Maybe daughters-in-law. Okay, we'll come back to this. Okay, so let's just read through and get our bearings, and then we're going to come back to look at this more carefully. Pasuk Tez Zayin, verse 16 on top of 260. Uvnei Gad, the sons of Gad, Tzifyon v'chagi, Shuni v'etzbon. So he has, we have more, Eri v'arodi v'areli. So Gad so far has the most children. He has seven sons, Tzifyon, Chagi, Shuni. How'd you like to have a name like that for a boy? Chagi and Shuni. Etzbon, Eri, Arodi and Areli. All those are boys' names. Seven sons for God plus God himself is eight. Uvnei Asher, and now we have the sons of Asher. Yimna V'yishva V'yishvi Uvriya. So that's four sons. Now he has one son named Yishva and one son named Yishvi.
That's interesting.
That's very confusing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yimna Yishva Yishvi Vriya and V'serach hachosam, and Serach, their sister. So,
second girl,
we have Asher, but this is not Yaakov's daughter, this is Yaakov's granddaughter. Mm-hmm. This is Asher's daughter, Serach, who we already talked about, and how great she was, we spoke about with breaking the news to Yaakov and all of that. Mm-hmm. So, that's five, and not only that, Asher also has grandsons, Uvnei Briah, the sons of Briah, Chever Umalkiel. So Chaver Malkiel, two more. So he has 5 plus 2 is 7 plus himself is 8. So God and Asher together turn out to be
16.
Ela b'nei Zilpah. These, meaning the ones we just mentioned, are the sons of Zilpah. Ashana san Lavan Leah vito. That Lavan gave to Leah his daughter. Zilpah is this maid of Leah. Vatelet as Ela Yaakov. She bore these to Yaakov. Sheish esrei nafesh. 16 souls.
Wow.
So Leah accounted for 33, although we're missing one. And Zilpah accounts for 16. So total right now of 49. B'nei Rachel, Eishes Yaakov, the sons of Rachel, the wife of Yaakov, Yosef uBinyamin. Yosef and Binyamin. Here, clearly the Torah is accentuating the fact that Rachel is the wife of Yaakov. The other ones are also the wives of Yaakov. Leah, Zilpah, Bilhah. But the Torah accentuates that Rachel is the wife of Yaakov, and we understand that Rachel was the main wife. So the Torah points that out. The sons of Rachel, the wife of Yaakov, Yosef and Binyamin. Vayivaleh liYosef be'eretz Mitzrayim. It was born to Yosef in the land of Mitzrayim. Asher yoldalo Asnas, that Asnas bore for him. So Asnas here is mentioned, but she's not counted. We haven't mentioned any of the wives of the sons of Yaakov, but here Yosef's wife Asnas is mentioned, but as we will see, she will not be counted. Yosef had from Asnas Bas Potiphera. She was the daughter of Potiphera, Kohen On, the priest of On. Who did she have? Es Menashe Bas Ephraim. And of course we're very familiar with Menashe and Ephraim, who have already played prominent roles in the stories that we've seen. So Yosef, Menashe, and Ephraim are three. Uvinei Binyamin, and the sons of Binyamin, and count very carefully here, Binyamin is going to have the most offspring. Bela, Vavecher, Ve'ashbel, Geira, Ve'na'aman, Echi, Varosh, Mupim, Ve'chupim, Va'ard. Binyamin was in Kolel. Binyamin had a very large family. He had 10 sons. So there you have Binyamin is 10. Excuse me, he is plus himself, so that's
11.
Plus Yosef and his two sons.
Three.
So we're up to 14. Ela b'nei Rachel, these are the sons of Rachel, Asher Yulad liYaakov, that were born to Yaakov. Kol Nefesh Arba'a Asar, a total of 14. Mm-hmm. So we had 33 plus 16 plus 14.
63.
What's that? 63. Yeah. Yep.
So 63.
They counting the descendants of Jacob, or are they counting the people that went down to Egypt? Because Joseph was there.
Good. So you see that Yosef's being counted as well. Good. Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. So we'll see in a minute. The Torah is going to... Yeah. That's a very good point. So wait, hold on, because we'll get to that. Uvnei Dan, Chushim. And the sons of Dan were Chushim. That's a funny pasuk, because it says Vnei Dan, plural, and then it says Chushim, only one person.
Right.
So Dan, even though it says the children in plural of Dan, it only tells us one offspring of Dan, Chushim.
But doesn't the Im, maybe that makes the plural of these twins?
That's possible. That would be a novel way of reading it.
Chushim.
Right.
It's only one name.
Okay. So at least it seems that's two. Dan and Chushim is two. Uvenei Naphtali, the children of Naphtali, Yachzeel, Viguni, Vietzer, Vishilem. Naphtali had four sons, plus himself is five. So you have Dan and his son, plus Naphtali and his four sons.
70 total,
right. So that's seven. Elev and Vilha, these are the sons of Bilha. Asher nasan Lavan l'Rachel b'ito, that Lavan had given to Rachel his daughter. Vatelet as Ela Yaakov, she bore these to Yaakov. Kol nefesh, shiva, all the souls were seven. So we're up to 70. Kol hanefesh haba'a liYaakov Mitzrayim, all the souls that were coming with Yaakov to Mitzrayim, Yotzei Yirecho, those who came from him, Milavad Nish. Now here's an important clause: Milavad Nishev Ne Yaakov, excluding the wives of the sons of Yaakov. We're not counting their wives. So even though, of course, their wives came as well, but they're not being counted over here. So excluding the wives of Yaakov, kol nefesh shishim v'sheish, a total of 66. How do we get 66? Well, we counted 70, but you have to subtract Yosef and his two sons. So you're down to 67, and you have to subtract one more. Where's that one more that we're subtracting? It's not clear.
33.
Okay. So that seems to be funny as well. And in fact, it's going to be even funnier if we read the next pasuk. Uvenei Yosef, and the children of Yosef, Ashayulad Lova Mitzrayim, that were born to Yosef in Mitzrayim, Nefesh Shinoim, two souls. Kol HaNefesh, Leves Yaakov, all the souls of the house of Yaakov, Haba Mitzrayim, that came to Egypt, Shivim, 70. So this is very curious. Torah tells us that there was a total of 66. We counted 70. Okay, but we know that the Torah is not going to count Yosef and his two sons. So there's 66. So it's funny, like, who's this? Who's the other person we're not counting? Right. And then the Torah says, and then when you add Yosef and his two sons, now you have 70. 70 plus 66 plus 3 is 70. So this would fail. This would fail any math test, right?
On this diagram, it's not counting Yaakov.
Right, Yaakov's not counted.
Right.
That's
so
right.
How come he's not counted?
Is it the children of Yaakov?
Oh, the children.
Right, the children of Yaakov.
So he's the 70th person.
At first we had one extra.
Said 33 instead of 32.
We had one missing.
Right.
Missing. I mean, it showed one extra.
Right.
And now we have one less.
Right. Okay, so that's going to be one explanation. So hold on. That's what we're showing where this comes from. How do you know anything about Yocheved? So you see that there's an issue over here.
Yeah.
So, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam
she'akol
nivra.
Amen.
So, now, we know, of course, the Torah knows math, but we also know that typically the Torah is very meticulous with the counting. Later on in the Chumash, where we're going to have the Jews counted, the numbers add up very well. So this is very strange that the numbers are funny, and they're presented to us in this strange way. Now, so we have to go back and answer these questions. Where is this the first time that the children of Yaakov are counted? The right answer is no. Okay? Where is the first time the children of Yaakov were counted?
When
they left Paddan Aram, but you're close. When they arrived in Canaan. When they left Laban's house, traveled, and came to hold the place over here, turned back to Parshas Vayishlach, when they finally got back to Yitzchak, Yaakov finally got back to Yitzchak, the Torah counts for us the children of Yaakov. Back on page 190. Back on page 190, Pesach Chaf Gimel, verse 23. Vayu b'nei Yaakov shneim asar. The children of Yaakov were 12. And then it lists them for us. B'nei Leah, B'chor Yaakov Reuven. The firstborn of Yaakov was Reuven. Shimon, V'Levi, V'Yehuda, V'Yisachar was Vulun. That's 6. B'nei Rachel, the sons of Rachel, Yosef, V'Vinyamin. 2 more, that's 8. Umenei Bila, Shivchas Rachel, the children of Bila, the maid of Rachel, Dan v'Naphtali, 2 more, that's 10. Umenei Zilpa, Shivchas Leah, and the children of Zilpa, the maid of Leah, Gad v'Asher. That was 2 more, that gives you 12. Eila, b'nei Yaakov, Eshiyud Lalo, b'Fadan Aram, these are the sons of Yaakov who were born in Paddan Aram. Ask me a question.
Binyamin
wasn't. He wasn't born in Paddan Aram. Okay, that's a good question. He was born on the way to Canaan. Ask a more glaring question. That's a good question, but it's not the one I wanted. So, ask a more glaring question. Who's not being counted?
Yes, sir.
He's counted?
No, he's not.
Well.
Dina.
Dina!
Oh, all right.
Dina. Dina's not counted over here. In our count here of the 70 souls, Dina's included. Here, back on 190, no Dina. It's 12.
Yeah, she wasn't born.
We know she was born. She had been born earlier.
She's a girl.
She was before Yosef.
So, okay, so here it's only counting boys.
Right.
Here it's only counting boys. Here when it says we know the word b'nei could mean sons or it could mean children. So here it only means sons. Clearly daughters are not being counted. Only the sons. And that's understandable since it seems like we're counting the tribes. And the tribes are only the boys. Fine. So it's only the boys. But in our page on 258 and 260, here, obviously, we don't only mean sons. We mean daughters as well. Children. And that's why Dina is counted and Serach is counted. They are counted. And the Torah has to actually specify, not including the wives of the sons of Yaakov. Meaning, you might have thought to count them. Because we're counting boys and girls. We're not just counting boys. On page 190, there was no need to say besides their wives. Because on page 190, we weren't counting girls. We were only counting boys. But over here, on page 260, where we're counting boys and girls, the Torah has to specify we're not counting the wives of the tribes. We're only counting the offspring.
But there were no other daughters and granddaughters?
So, that's when we have a question. Was it that there were only two female offspring of Yaakov, Dina and Serach, or were there more, but for some reason they're not counted?
Right.
Okay, we'll get to Yocheved in a minute.
It seems like it's counting souls, not people. So when you have a man and a wife together, like the daughter-in-laws, they're not counted because they count.
It's one soul.
Right.
Okay.
But the two young girls, Dina, who's I guess not married, and Yocheved, who's
Sarah,
not born yet,
right. And Sarah.
And Sarah, as the young girls, so they're not, so they count as a whole soul.
Okay.
Would that be?
Okay, perhaps. That's a good answer.
Their soul doesn't tell you whether it's other daughters.
Okay. I don't know why we had one more, and now we have one less.
Okay. Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Where it says Dan's sons, and it only lists one.
Right.
So maybe there was another son born, but it was before his bris, so maybe he's not counted.
Okay,
yet.
Okay, so maybe there was another child. It says children.
Yeah.
So it sounds like there's another one. For some reason, his name is not listed.
Maybe there's daughters, and they're not mentioning daughters.
Okay, would only be one.
But
oh, you mean
because
with done.
It could be sons and daughters,
okay.
And they're just not mentioning.
But that would be funny because we're listing the other daughters.
But only because they have significance.
Okay, so Mrs. Kaiser is suggesting a new idea.
Do that. It just gives us the facts that we need.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Mrs. Kaiser is suggesting a new idea. Perhaps there were more than 70 souls, but we're only listing those that have historical significance. Obviously, everybody's important, but the Torah is not going to tell you the name of every single person. So perhaps there were more, but these are the ones that were historically significant. So Serach, who was historically significant, she's counted. Dina is historically significant, she's counted. But there were other females, maybe even other males, that weren't historically significant, so they weren't counted. That's an idea. That's a possibility.
The other thing is that they came out with 3 million.
Mm-hmm.
So unless they had a lot of converts in Egypt.
Well, we know from later on that the reason why they came out with so many is because they were having six at a time. Now we know in Shmos, right, that they're having six at a time. They're proliferating at an incredible rate. And then we'll get to that when we get to Parsha Shmos. And that's what we say in the Haggadah. That's one of the things that we're saying on Pesach night. Mm-hmm. That it's incredible, the growth of the Jewish people in Egypt. But that's for a different time.
And that's wild.
Are
being
about
put in
like
the,
sex
covenants
or
mm-hmm.
just...
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Wild.
Yeah. Involved. We will discuss that when we get to Parsha Shmos in the beginning. We'll discuss that. And we'll show how that works and how it's a blessing. Because one could think of that. That's not a blessing. That's like, whoa. Right? Okay. So we'll discuss it. Okay. So there are different... If we would just analyze the psukim, there are different possibilities of how to handle the discrepancies in the numbers. But there are some issues over here. So our sages tell us... What our sages do is they take the two major discrepancies. The one is that under the first wife, under Leah, it says 33 souls, but we only count the 32. And then later on, it says 66 souls plus 3 is 70. So there should be another one. So there's one that from before that the Torah counts, but there's no name. Mm-hmm. And then later on, we're missing somebody. Also, the Torah adds it. So the our sages understand it's the same person. That the person that's missing is one of Leah's descendants, and that person will make her descendants go from 32 to 33. And that person also doesn't actually come on the scene till they get to Egypt. Because it says that there were only 66. They came to Egypt where you found Yosef, Menashe, and Ephraim. So 66 plus 3 is 70. What do you mean? Must be there was a fourth person who also was added in when you got to Egypt. Now, if it wasn't for the first issue of Leah's children being counted as 33 instead of 32, I would have been bold enough to say that the 70th person, as one of you mentioned, is Asnas, is Yosef's wife. Because even though Asnas, it says, it's even though it says not including the wives of the sons of Yaakov, but she was not only a wife of the son of Yaakov, she was also a daughter of Dinah, Yosef's sister. She was a nephew of, a niece of Yosef. So she's also a descendant of Yaakov. As I would have said, the Torah is not counting the wives of the sons of Yaakov because they were not descendants of Yaakov. They married into the family. So we're not counting those who married into the family. We're only counting the direct descendants of Yaakov. But Yosef's wife happens to also have been a direct descendant of Yaakov. So I would have thought that she's the 70th. That when they only had 66, when they got to Egypt, you add four more. Yosef, Menashe, Ephraim, and Asnas. That's what I would have said on my own. The reason why that's not tenable is because that would not explain how Leah get... Well, actually, sorry. Nope, that would explain how Leah gets... No, I'm sorry. That would work. Take that back. That would work. Because Dinah is one of Leah's daughters. Mm-hmm. Dinah is one of Leah's children. And then her daughter is Asnas. So we could have suggested that Asnas is the 70th. That you have Leah, it says 32. We count 32 names, but it's really 33. Well, why? Who's missing? Asnas, Dinah's daughter Asnas, who would be the 33rd. But she's not counted over here because she was already in Egypt. And then they get to Egypt, you have 66 plus 3, but also plus 4 because of Asnas, so you get 70. So it really would work out nicely.
Why isn't Yaakov counted?
Because we're talking about the children of Yaakov. Yaakov is a father. Yaakov is a patriarch. Right. We're not counting the patriarch.
We're counting the souls that entered...
Of the children of Yaakov.
Okay.
Not counting Yaakov. That's clear. It's the children of Yaakov. So that might have been a nice way to work, make it all work out.
Except
yeah.
It says Yaakov and his children in the mm-hmm. same verse. It says these are the names of the children of Israel who are coming to Egypt. Mm-hmm. Yaakov and his children.
They're the ones who came to Egypt. We're not counting Yaakov, though. That's clear. The Torah says it explicitly. It says 33 for Leah, 16 for Zilpah, 14 for Rachel, and 7 for Bilhah. It's clear we're not counting Yaakov. That's obvious. If we were counting Yaakov, then you'd have to only count 69 plus him. But the Torah counts 33, 16, 14, and 7, which equals up to 70. It's clear the Torah is not including Yaakov in the count. So
this actually says there are other views of who was the seventh. Yaakov himself is counted among the group as implied by the expression
yep.
Yaakov and his children.
Okay. But our sages don't say that. So we have, so a possibility might have been Asnas. Mm-hmm. But our sages don't say that. Our sages tell us in the Gemara that the 70th person, as many of you mentioned, is Yocheved. Yocheved is the daughter of Levi. She's also the mother of
Moshe
and
Miriam.
So Yocheved is a pretty important person. So Yocheved is the daughter of Levi, and she is a descendant of Leah. So she's the 33rd Leah descendant. So that's why we only have 32 names, but really she's included. But she was born to the wife of Levi when they entered Egypt. Levi's wife was pregnant when they traveled to Egypt, and when they got to Egypt, it doesn't have to mean as soon as they entered through the gates, right? But when they got to Egypt, shortly after they got there, Yocheved was born. So Yocheved was added when they got to Egypt. So when they got to Egypt, they had only 66. They got there, they found Yosef, Menashe, Ephraim, and Yocheved, and she would be the 70th person. So that's what our sages tell us. So we have that as a possibility in how to deal with the 70 souls. Now, what about how do we deal with Dina doesn't seem to have any children, and what about other daughters that Yaakov may have had? Mm-hmm. Now, there is an opinion that every time one of the tribes was born, there was a twin sister. And what happened to those twin sisters? We don't know their names, but what happened to those twin sisters? The only daughter of Yaakov that we know about is Dina. But there is an opinion in the Medrash that there were really many daughters born to Yaakov, because the tribes all had sisters. So you have a few possibilities over here. Now, in order to fully understand this, we need to go back to Pasuk Yud, verse 10. If any of you get bored, it sounds like it's a lot more interesting.
Well, I got bored. Join the Boy Scouts.
That's right. Look at Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Getting back to Shimon. Uvenei Shimon, the children of Shimon, the sons of Shimon, Yimuel, V'yamin, V'ohad, V'yachin, V'tzochar. Those are his five sons. V'shaul ben ha-Kananis. And Shaul, the son of the Kananis, of the Canaanite woman. There is a debate. Mm-hmm. Who did the brothers marry? Who they marry? Yeah. They were living in Canaan.
Each other's twin sisters.
Who they marry? Right. Now, remember, let's just get back to basics before we go further in this discussion. We know that we have restrictions that we must marry Jewish. We know that that's true today. What about before the Torah was given? Who do they marry? As I've mentioned to you many times, before the Torah was given, there was no concept of conversion because there wasn't a Jewish nation. It was a family. We were the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It was a family business. Mm-hmm. Now, a family business has advantages and limitations. On the one hand, an advantage is that if you want to become part of a family, you can marry into the family. That makes you part of the family. If you marry a member of the family, you're not part of the family, like it or not. Mm-hmm. But you're part of the family. Mm-hmm. A limitation of a family business is you can't convert. I can't make myself into another person's family. I can't just go through a process of going into the mikvah and accepting upon myself that I will now be, Josh, I'll pick on you, that now I'm going to be, accept all of the rules of the Sidon family. So now I become a Sidon. Doesn't work that way. You can accept upon yourself all you want. You can't make yourself into a different family. But you can marry into the family. Once we become a nation, we get the Torah, then we're no longer a family business, we're now a nation. Well, a nation has, again, advantages and disadvantages. The advantage is that there's such a thing called conversion. You can join the nation without marrying into the nation. You can join the nation by going through a process that the Torah describes, which is going to the mikvah for men circumcision and also accepting upon oneself the rules and regulations of the nation, which is the Torah. That works. The limitation is that you can't just marry into the nation, because it's not a family, it's a nation. And joining the nation is not just marriage. There's more to it than just marriage. There's accepting and following all the process that is involved in becoming Jewish. So that changes when the Torah is given. But before the Torah is given, because it's a family, it only hinges on marriage. There is an opinion, there's a debate over this, whether before the Torah was given, any time one of the children, descendants of Yaakov, wanted to marry, So they married someone outside the family. Did the person also need to go through the steps of conversion? Meaning, did they have to accept upon themselves the laws of the Torah, etc.? So maybe yes, maybe no. But the fact is that marriage made that person part of the family. So the brothers were not limited. They weren't limited to only marry Jewish, because there was no nation called Judaism. Marry whoever you want. Whoever you marry is going to become part of the people, part of the nation, part of the family. So who did they marry? They were living in Canaan. We know that Avraham told Eliezer that he is not to take a daughter of Canaan for his son Yitzchak. We also know that Yitzchak told his son Yaakov, you are not to marry a Canaanite woman. You're to go to Lavan to find yourself a wife. So our patriarchs could not marry Canaanite women. What about the tribes? Were they limited as well that they couldn't marry Canaanite women? See, we don't find that they traveled abroad to go find a wife. Eliezer found one for Yitzchak abroad. Yaakov traveled and found a wife. We don't find that Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda all traveled to find themselves wives. Mm-hmm. They seem to remain in Canaan. Well, how many non-Canaanite women were there in Canaan that were eligible to marry the tribes? And remember, the tribes were such special people, it couldn't just be any woman. It would have to be somebody special to marry any of the tribes. So, who was available? So there is a difference of opinion over here. Some say that, yes, they married Canaanite women. The restriction of marrying Canaanite women was only on the patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But that was only because they were starting the nation, starting the people. But once the people were started, now you have an existing family, then the restriction was lifted. And there were righteous Canaanite women who the tribes married. That's one opinion. The other opinion is that the tribes married their twin sisters. That's who they married.
Their own or each other.
Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. That they couldn't marry Canaanite women, just like their parents couldn't marry Canaanite women, their fathers. They had to marry non-Canaanite women, so they married their twin sisters. But there's a problem with that. That's incest. Can't marry your sister. Even a non-Jew is prohibited from marrying a sister. Not allowed. So how could the tribes marry their twin sisters? So here we have a technicality, and that is, Jews are prohibited from marrying siblings, full siblings or half siblings. Anybody who shares a parent cannot marry. So a brother and sister that share a mother but not a father, or share a father but not a mother, they can't marry each other. According to the Torah, non-Jews may not marry full siblings, and they may not marry siblings if they share the same mother. But siblings who are half siblings, who only share the same father but come from different mothers, are permitted to marry. It is not incest. For a non-Jew, a non-Jewish man who shares a father with a non-Jewish woman but from different mothers, they may marry each other, and it would not be incest. So, since the Torah had not been given yet, mm-hmm. it is possible that the brothers married their twin sisters, but not from the same mother. Now, it works out very nicely. Leah had six sons, mm-hmm. and the other wives combined had six sons. So if you think about it, each one has a sister. So that means there are six eligible daughters who can't marry Leah's sons, but can marry the other six, and then there are six eligible daughters who can marry Leah's sons, and they just swapped, and now you have everybody marrying sisters, and now that's an arranged marriage. Okay, so that's a possibility. However, bear in mind that we know of two tribes who most certainly did not marry their twin sisters. Which two tribes do we know of that most certainly did not marry their twin sisters?
Yosef.
Yosef married Asnas, who was his niece, not his sister. A niece is permitted even today for a Jew. A niece is not incest. So Yosef married his niece. He didn't marry a twin sister. And who else?
Shimon.
Here, because it's
Mel.
Saying, no.
But with the Shimon, he had two wives. We don't know who the first one was.
Okay.
Say it again.
Yehuda.
If you recall, back in Parshas Vayeshev, we are told after the sale of Yosef. If you want to look at, let's look at it together. So I see blank faces. Hold the place over here. Turn back to Parshas Vayeshev. Page 208. Top of the page. Vayehi Ba'esa, he was at that time. Vayered Yehuda Me'esa Chav, Yehuda fell from before his brothers. He was diminished. Vayet Ad Ish Adulami, he turned to an Adulami man. Ushmo Chira, his name was Chira. This would be his business partner. Vayar Sham Yehuda Bas Ish Kenani, Yehuda saw there the daughter of a Canaanite man. Ushmo Shua, his name, the name of the father was Shua. Vayikacheha, and he married her, Vayavoeleha, and he lived with her. And then he had children, etc. So Yehuda marries apparently a Canaanite woman, although it is not clear. The word Kenani can mean Canaanite, it can also mean merchant. So it is not clear. Some translate this word Kenani not as Canaanite but as merchant. Either way, it's not his twin, it's not his half sister. He's marrying an outsider. Later on, we know that who does Yehuda marry later?
Tamar.
Inadvertently, but he marries
Tamar.
Tamar was the daughter of Shem, the son of Noah. So Tamar is not a Canaanite woman. But he's also not his sister. So Yehuda and Yosef are not married to their sisters, their half-sisters. Now the other 10 sons, that's where the debate is. Did they marry their sisters, or did they marry outside the family? So we now have two opinions, and the two opinions can be worked out well in our discussion over here. Meaning, and these are two opinions in the Medrash. If you say that the brothers married their half-sisters, then we understand very well why they're not counted. Even though the Torah counts all of Yaakov's descendants, but the Torah says explicitly, not including the wives of the sons of Yaakov. So yes, he may have had more daughters, but since they were married to his sons, they're not counted. The wives of the sons of Yaakov are not counted. So that would very easily explain Yaakov's daughters were there, but they weren't counted.
Was Sarah the granddaughter and no other granddaughters?
Because they weren't married. She wasn't married to one of the sons. Anybody married to the sons
were
of
there other? But were there other granddaughters? Well,
there are only six grandchildren here. Eight grand. There are only very few grandchildren counted.
Right.
Oh, no, you're not grandchildren. Oh, you're right. Yeah, right. No, there are a lot of grandchildren.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, she's a grandchild.
Sarah and Yocheved. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, it would still not explain that they were very top-heavy with boys right. Once you get to the next generation.
Right.
Right. That's true. That's one opinion in the Medrash. The other opinion in the Medrash is that, no, the brothers married outsiders. They didn't marry their half-sisters. Mm-hmm. They married Canaanite women. Either there were no half-sisters, that Yaakov only had 12 sons and Dinah, and there were no other half-sisters, or there were, but they passed away before they went down to Egypt. The Medrash is not willing to say that they were there, but not counted because of insignificance. It seems that this is considered to be an exhaustive list. Whereas before, on page 190, the Torah clearly was only counting the boys and only counting tribes, not all descendants. Here, it seems like the Medrash is understanding, the Gemara is understanding, that we're counting exactly. This is the amount that there were. There were 70, not including the wives of the sons of Yaakov, but there were 70. And if there were daughters of Yaakov, either they died or they were married to the brothers. But they weren't just there on the periphery and not being counted. This 70 is an exhaustive list. Yeah.
Couldn't there be two daughters left that were not married?
Yeah. I mean, if you say they marry their sisters, you have to say those two either died, or
one unmarried too.
What's that?
Yeah, or one married too.
Well, that's right. Another problem. Marrying two sisters is okay. Another issue, which is possible. Yaakov married two sisters, but still, that's already, you know, half sisters plus two of them, you know.
He married four sisters.
What?
He married four sisters.
Yeah, right. Now, who is this Shaul ben Akhnanis? Shaul, the son of the Akhnanis of the Canaanite woman. Now, I believe I mentioned this to you back in the story of Shechem. But we'll cover it a little bit more in depth over here.
Thank you.
In the time we have left. The Gemara tells us, Rashi actually cites this, that the Canaanis refers to Dina.
Right.
That Shaul, Shimon's son Shaul, was the son of the Canaanis of the Canaanite woman, which is Dina. Why is Dina called the Canaanite woman? She was not a Canaanite woman. Why would she be called the Canaanite woman? Because she was molested by a Canaanite. Shechem took her and molested her. So she's called the Canaanite because it was a Canaanite who molested her. Now, why does that have to be brought up? I mean, leave the girl alone already. What do you have to say that for? So the reason why the Torah emphasizes that over here is because it would be a curiosity. Why would Shimon marry Dina? Why would he marry Dina? The answer is, and this is what I mentioned to you back in Parshas Vayishlach when we did Shechem, we talked about that whole episode, that after Dina was molested and Shimon and Levi came and destroyed the city, they killed all the men, and then they despoiled the city, then Dina did not agree to leave, to come back with Shimon and Levi, unless Shimon agreed to marry her. And Shimon agreed. And so he married her. And that's why here he's referred to Shaul, the son of the Canaanis, of the Canaanite, meaning the woman who was molested by the Canaanite, because that's how come Shimon married her. She refused because she was afraid that no one would want to marry her now. And so Shimon agreed to marry her and took her, and that's where Shaul comes from. Now Shaul is not the son of Shechem. Shaul is the son of Shimon and Dina.
Oh. Osnas.
What's that?
Was Osnas?
Osnas was the product of Shechem and Dina. Okay. But Shaul is the product of Shimon and Dina. Now, according to this medrash, we have a severe difficulty. And what's the severe difficulty?
Can't marry your sister.
She's a full sister. Mm-hmm. And that's clearly incest.
But the full sister, it also says that they lived together.
What's that?
Shimon and Dina did not live together.
They had Shaul. Shaul was born from them. So this becomes a major, major issue. How do you have that? So this forces us to investigate another medrash, which I also mentioned to you before. And this is where it gets fun.
Rashi been wrong? I don't remember ever Rashi being wrong.
Okay, so here, listen to this. Listen to the medrash. We learned earlier in Parshas Vayetze that Leah had six sons, and Bilhah had two, and Zilpah had two. Rachel had none, and she was waiting to have children. And then Leah became pregnant again. And then it says she had a daughter, and her name was Dina. And the Gemara tells us that Leah davened and had her child, who was supposed to be a boy, switched to a girl. Because she didn't want that her sister Rachel should only end up with one tribe instead of two. So it was a chesed, it was a kindness that Leah did to have the baby switched from a boy to a girl. The Gemara tells us, what do you mean? How could you just switch the gender? So the Gemara says, well, up until the 40th day of after conception, the gender is not yet determined, and one can pray to change the gender. The Gemara says, though, Leah did it after the 40th day of conception. How could that happen? The Gemara says, don't bring any proof from Leah. Leah is able to make miracles happen, and we can't, you know, she was a tremendous tzaddikah, an incredible righteous woman, and for her to to, so to speak, get God to do a miracle, that's no big deal for her, but that's beyond us. So that's what the Gemara says. Leah was able to pull it off. At any rate, the child changed gender. The Medrash says that although it is typically understood that the child simply changed gender, in fact, the child did not change gender, it's the child that changed. Meaning that Leah was pregnant and Rachel was pregnant at the same time. Rachel was pregnant with a girl and Leah was pregnant with a boy. Leah davened and the two children switched
wombs.
They switched wombs. Wow. So that the fetus that was inside of Rachel went to Leah and the fetus that was inside of Leah went to Rachel. So the girl that had been inside of Rachel went to Leah, that was Dinah. And the boy that had been inside of Leah went to Rachel, that's Yosef. Now, clearly you understand what this is going to do for our understanding of Yosef. We've talked about Yosef many times, but we've talked about the branches of Rachel and Leah. I mean, now we have a person who's really a hybrid, because Yosef, Yosef is connected to both. But leaving that aside for the moment, so now Dinah is born to Leah. Is Dinah a full sister of the Leah brothers, or is she a full sister of the Rachel brothers? Where is she from? Do we count her as being a full sister of the Leah sons? Because she was born to Leah. So therefore, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc., they're all full sisters of Dinah. Full brothers of Dinah. And she's a half-sister of Binyamin, who is one of Rachel's sons. Or do we say no? Because she was conceived by Rachel, therefore she's actually a full sibling of Binyamin and only a half-sibling of Leah's sons. If we are to accept this medrash that the Kenanis is Dinah and Shimon was married to Dinah, we have no choice but to say that Dinah was considered to be a half-sister of Shimon.
No.
Because she was actually conceived by Rachel, not by Leah.
Messes up your twin sister thing.
Where's that
totally.
What's that?
Where's that word now?
The medrash says it. Now, here's where it really gets fun. There is a serious discussion amongst the current poskim, the current sages, previous generation and this generation, involving artificial insemination. If artificial insemination is done in order for a woman to be pregnant and have a child, if the child, the child is actually, see, you didn't want to leave for this one, right? So, if the child, you have a husband and wife, and let's say that for whatever reason, the wife can't carry a child. So, they today, with modern medicine, so they're able to take an egg from the wife, fertilize it from the husband, but then implant it in a third party, in another woman. Mm. She carries the baby and has the baby. Whose baby is that? Now, this is a legal debate in America. It's a legal debate. What's that?
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. So whose baby is that? It's not a, so whose baby is that? Now, this is not simply a question of who has custody or who do they inherit and like that. It's a question of who is this person not allowed to marry and who is this person is allowed to marry. If that woman has a son, can that son marry the original couple's daughter? Is this son a full brother, a full sibling of the daughter of the original couple. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Mrs. Smith can't carry a baby. They take an egg from Mrs. Smith, they fertilize it from Mr. Smith, and they implant it in Mrs. Jones. So is this boy who's born to Mrs. Jones, is, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, let's say there's a daughter that had been born earlier before Mrs. Smith had trouble with carrying a baby. So this boy who's born to Mrs. Jones, can he marry the Smith's
yes.
daughter? Or not?
No.
Well, that's
their sperm and egg.
No.
Come on
well,
now.
this is
no.
debated.
No.
Okay. Now again,
how
we're not.
Could he marry the Jones's daughter? Is another story.
We're not. No, we're not discussing whether it would be healthy or not. That's a different question, right? That's a different issue. We're talking about legally, halakhically, is it permitted or not? One might be tempted to say, based on our discussion this evening, one may be tempted to say that. If you see from here, now remember, this is not everybody's opinion over here, that the Kenanis was Dina. I'm only going with that opinion over here. But we may be tempted to say that you see from here that we follow conception, not birth. Because we're saying that Dina really comes from Rachel. In which case, the very fact that Mrs. Jones bore this child doesn't make a difference. This child really is considered the Smith's son, and he could marry Mrs. Jones' daughter. That's what would come out, mm-hmm. which would also be shocking. Mm-hmm. Right? So one might be tempted to make that connection. However, and we're not going to end up here with a halachic ruling. Yeah, that we're leaving out. But I'm just taking you through the steps that are based on this whole discussion. Yeah. But they're not necessarily analogous. Because in my artificial insemination example, they fertilized the egg outside of both mothers. Right. Neither mother was involved in the actual conception. Yes, they took an egg from Mrs. Smith, but there was no conception happening inside of Mrs. Smith. Everything happened inside of Mrs. Jones after they implanted it. Over here, it's something which modern medicine has not yet been able to do, which is there was conception and growth inside of Rachel that later switched to Leah. That's not analogous to what goes on in modern medicine today. That they have never done, and that would be really, I think ethically very, very difficult. I mean, that would be I think you'd have an uproar.
Umbilical cord and reconnect.
Right. I'm saying that's a whole, right? That's a miracle that God did, and they have not been able to replicate that today. I don't know that anybody wants to replicate that. I mean, it's not necessarily analogous to artificial insemination, where there never was a physical, like you said, umbilical cord connection to Mrs. Smith, even though it's her egg. But there never was so the question of when Mrs. Jones has that boy, whose son is he? It's not necessarily compared to our case over here. And that is debated because we have to know who he's allowed to marry, who he's not allowed to marry. It's very important. So this is debated throughout the more recent poskim. They debate this because it's only recently that it has really become a major issue because of modern medicine.
Isn't it a Yichud problem too?
Yichud is less of a problem. What do you do with adoption?
Right.
No, but there's room to implement that.
We're done.
We're done.
They're all running.